Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who's rethinking every life choice that was made, leading me up to recapping tonight's episode of Big Brother. I am Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome. Welcome to a show to recap an episode of television that you have watched, presumably, where you said, hey, I need to get even more understanding of what I just watched. You're in the right place here tonight, as we will talk about Sunday night's Big Brother episode, if you could call it that. And we have a wonderful panel here with us to talk about it here. I believe for the first time this season to talk with us, here is from New Digs, here is the great Frail Mary, Mary Kwiatkowski. Mary, how are you?
I now know what the super fans feel like, because imagine waiting just days and days to be asked to come on the podcast, and this is what I get. This is the episode I have to recap.
Oh. Yep.
Yeah, doing great.
Yes. Okay. Mary, great to have you here with us tonight. Of course, also with us here tonight is a man who maybe can help us understand what we just saw. Isaiah Goins is here. Isaiah, how are you?
You know, this is why we watch Big Brother, Rob, to watch everyone eat pies and find T's and F's in a bunch of cream, you know? So we're here. We're going to make the best of it. Yeah. But that was an episode.
Isaiah, what was missing was a W to add to that TF.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
That would have been more appropriate. Where was the W?
WTF, man. I have no idea what
dub.
I watch.
Yeah.
At all. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. And of course, a man who dedicates his life to earnestly telling you about all of the serious interactions that happen day in and day out in this house is here to talk about what we saw here tonight. Taryn, how are you?
Yeah, just give one sec.
Okay. All right. You're wheeled in?
Yeah, I'm all ready to go.
I was hoping that you would come in with a prop of just like a giant bowl of yogurt that you would go face first into for us here on the podcast.
And then make like a noise like that?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yes. Was that the noise that was used for JC's meat sauce? Was that?
I think so.
Was that
it immediately brought me back there.
I made like a pasta with hot dogs, ground beef, and everything I found around the house. It's like a beef sauce.
Mm-hmm. Huh? Huh? Hey, wait.
I didn't sign up for the gross additional noises on the podcast.
Sorry about that.
These are necessary noises, Mary.
Sorry, everybody with the earbuds in. Apologize.
Yeah, we're doing journalism. Yeah. We're investigating.
I thought the slop was supposed to be tomorrow. What is this? Okay. Of course, we will have the slop tomorrow. That Maggie can't make it for the live feed update in the morning, but it will still be a Maggie Monday, as Maggie Morgan joins me for the slop coming up on Monday night. Get your slops in. It was a sloppy week indeed. Once again, get your links in for the slop at robiswebsite.com/getsloppy. That's for our patron only look at all the nonsense in the Big Brother house. Monday night at 6 p.m. Eastern, we'll send the link out to all of the patrons. And make sure you subscribe to Rob's podcast for our Big Brother coverage. Can't miss any of this. robinswebsite.com/BB24 for that. Okay. All right. So we had about 30 minutes of pie eating here tonight. About maybe another 5 minutes on Pooch is going to go to detention. And somewhere in between, a wild plan hatched by Pooch to put himself up on the block.
Did you never, like, volunteer for detention in high school?
No, no.
Like, hey, if I say, like, hey, hold on, teacher, hear me out.
Mm-hmm.
What if I went to detention? But, like, and it's like, hey, I'm taking one for the team, right? Like, the rest of the classmates. And then you go around and you tell all the classmates, like, hey, I'm going to volunteer for detention. And then they're like, wow, that's so great, Pooch.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're doing a great job.
Very different context. I really wanted to go to detention, like, in high school. Once I started reaching, like, my senior year, and I was like, I've been, like, too good of a kid. Like, I feel like I need the full experience.
But you needed something on your resume, your high school resume.
Resume, right. Because, I couldn't find a good way to do that.
Yeah. Well, apparently really that volunteering for detention puts you on a life path where you volunteer yourself to be in other dangerous situations. And I think that's what happened to Pooch.
Yeah.
Anything to get Taylor out, though, you know? So, I mean, you got to go in the back. like, what is going on here, man? Such a confusing sequence of events from top to bottom. Like, but Pooch, I feel like he's losing it a little bit. I don't know. Like, is he really that well liked?
Did he have it, Isaiah?
Apparently, I mean, that's what he wants us to believe, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I saw someone in my Twitch chat tonight suggest that perhaps Pooch really, like, took to heart watching last season our winner Xavier volunteering for the block, thinking, like, that's what winners do. They volunteer for the team, they get credit on their resume, and then they win the game. Like, clearly not understanding that that was a very different circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the same thing. We're starting to narrow down out of the most people in the house who say that they're super fans. I think we're starting to narrow down who might actually be a fan and who's seen like one season, because at least Alyssa knew this was a bad idea.
I had a tweet this earlier during the episode because it bothered me. Like, I think two or three people said they were super fans this episode.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what an insult to Ian Terry. Like the guy who was able to list every single person who's played Big Brother before. He knows the ins and outs. And then now you just have, like, anyone who's seen, like, 5 seconds of the show before just claiming they're a super fan now is wild to me. That bothered me. I forgot to – I needed to bring that up. Stop saying that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, who is that for? Because it's only going to make actual fans mad at you. It's not going to, like, help your stake in the game.
Well,
probably.
I think you have to know that well enough to know that that is not going to endear you to super fans. You'd have to actually be a super fan to know that actually super fans do not want to hear that from a fake super fan.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Where's the line, right? I think we've talked about, like, where the line is for Big Brother. What about, like, the podcast? What are super fans of Rob as a podcast?
Oh.
Do they call themselves such?
That's a great question. You'd have to ask them what they are. But yeah, I think that probably happens too, where people are saying that they're super fans of the podcast. It's like, "Oh, really? Did you even watch this crazy show? Did you even listen to all of these crazy recaps?
Do you even know what recap of the recap is?
Yeah.
Did you even listen to the extended Hunted episodes of the podcast?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Come on. Sure. But yeah, we don't want to be like,
you know what Lindsay means.
Right. Right. But we want to welcome everybody in. We're not going to be like exclusive about the, we welcome any fans we can get. Okay. We're happy you're here.
I can't wait for all of the people in the chat to start prefacing every message with, as a super fan of the podcast.
Mm-hmm. For sure. For sure. Okay. I guess let's try to talk through this, because I don't know what was there. I mean, it's wild that we're 5 episodes into the show and It's like, I feel like that they're giving us so little, but it was an hour of television. So let's talk about it. I was surprised, first off, Taryn, so quickly to have the Pose Pack Alliance thrown into the show. I feel like it just came up on the update today, but they had it all chambered and ready to go for Sunday's episode.
Yes, I believe yesterday on the feeds was the first time that they had said it when it was on the feeds. They were informing Nicole about the name, but clearly it had been discussed prior to this situation. And so this was the origin. Pose Pack, a.k.a. Paloma's
Boo!
Posse. Yeah, they went from Mamba to Bleep to Pose Pack.
Bring the bleep back.
Right? Hold on. We can still do it, right? Ready? It's the Alliance.
Mm-hmm.
Is this the new Cole to Cappy? The Palace back? Like, wow. Like, was her impact that strong? I felt like some people started getting annoyed with her before she left.
I don't know. Now, is it Pals Pack? Is it Pose Pack?
Pose.
Poe.
Apparently, yeah. Poe was like a nickname she had as a child. But I don't know about y'all. The only Poe that I stan is a Teletubby. So.
Oh. Mm. Oh. Okay.
If it's not Tinky Winky, Dipsy, Lala, or Poe, I don't know about that.
Yeah. Which one?
When you said the only Poe you know, I thought you were going Dragon Ball. Mr. Popo.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
As long as it's not the Popo. But Rob. which one was Poe? Is that the purple one?
On Dragon Ball or the Teletubbies?
Teletubbies.
I think that's the red one. Poe is the red one.
Red one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and you know what? I think they used a very similar sound effect when they would drink their little like pudding stuff out of there.
It sounded like this.
Yeah, it was very similar. It's actually very similar. I bet that's where they got it. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like this is very much like Big Brother 6 Cappy. We need to like have something to unite ourselves against. Like already the narrative of, like Isaiah was saying, like Paloma's last few days in the house has changed now that she's gone, because people were starting to be a little bit like, yeah, we like her, but we can't really necessarily, you know, trust everything she's saying. And now it's like, oh, our princess who's gone.
Yeah. Look,
you either die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain. And Po died a hero.
Yeah. Pose Pack is terrible. Yeah. This brutal alliance. I can't believe, I know you said it this morning, Tara, but we're not going to have to worry about it for long, maybe, but for as long as we have Pose Pack in the show. Like, wait, what?
All they're missing is the shrine to Po with like a lock of her hair, a photo, maybe some mayo.
Just the mayo sitting on the counter for the rest of the season. Yeah, that'll be great.
The chat has Poe Patrol. That's better.
I saw people.
Poe Patrol is.
Yeah.
I saw PP Alliance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
PP always pulls through. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pulls through.
Sorry. I forgot the other P.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Okay. All right. So, Pose Pack is here. Nicole is going to be invited into the Pose Pack. Isaiah. All right. So Nicole has been added. Paloma out, Nicole in.
It feels like they're willingly telling people, hey, you're the new sixth person to this alliance. You want to join? And they just expect people to just fall in line. Like, this is the second time they've done that this season, by episode 5, may I say. And both people have willingly said, or both people have, through their actions, have basically like screwed this alliance over. So I'm like, I don't know why they think this is like the best approach, but they keep doing it. So if magically one other person leaves a pose pack. I won't be shocked if they walk to the next person just standing around like Terrence or something and saying, hey, you want to join this alliance? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, it's literally like that nightmare scenario where like you join a group or like a job or whatever, and like you join and at first you're like, oh, this is great, like everyone's so tight, like this is like you know, it seems like a cool group of people, and they're like, yeah, we love you, thank you so much, yeah, but the person that you're replacing, yeah, she was the best, you know, like we really miss her. In fact, name of the group. Named after her. So not that you have anything to like live up to or anything, but yeah, we've been so tight from day one, and like we really loved Poe, but I'm sure you're gonna be great, you know? I'm sure you're gonna do just as well. We're gonna love you just as much, you know, but we do really miss her, and you'd better honor her name.
I feel like I've been in that Poe scenario. Yes. That actual real life scenario.
Mm-hmm. It's not easy.
No, and it's like, oh, we bought shirts together, and like you can have the one that was meant for her, yeah, her size. But, mm-hmm. Okay, really you, feeling the love.
You fit the shirt, yeah,
yeah.
So here you go.
It's a little small on me, but okay,
okay. All right, so we have Jasmine. Now we had theorized maybe could we get a booth review? Would we get another angle of Jasmine's foot potentially touching the ground? Unless they gave it to us in the previously on, no such luck here tonight.
Yeah.
We should have known better. Yeah.
Dumb move.
I think they just wanted us to forget that was even a thing that happened. And so they just started the episode with, oh, they're inside now. Oh, can't go back outside. This is the case.
Mm-hmm. Now we'll never know the truth behind Confetti Gate. Mm-hmm. Forever, it will be lost to, you know, the myths, the legends of Big Brother. Mm-hmm. Did Jasmine's foot touch the pad?
I've seen the TikTok. I think Puya knows.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Puya agreed with me. So.
Yeah.
It did, by the way.
It did. It did. But look, it was all for naught. Look, there's still going to be part two of the HOH to come. So they don't want to dwell on it too much. Anyway, so Pooch sets up also before we see the actual HOH competition, you know, getting Taylor out of the house. That's the best idea. This is the best that Pooch is coming up with. Why not?
Yeah.
Original.
Yeah. Yeah.
Big move of the century. No one's thought of that at all.
Yeah. All right. I thought overall tonight, we also got a lot of Alyssa in the episode. Mary, it was almost like that we got like a new house guest dropped off here tonight to be on the show. Hello and welcome to the Diary Room, Alyssa.
Yeah, Alyssa's here. Alyssa misses her Scorpio sister, Paloma. And but she feels like at least she's someone who's going to try and work with Taylor. If Taylor's going to be in the house, Alyssa's like, hey, you know, better to be on her good side than her bad side. Mm-hmm. No reason that no one else is realizing this, but so
right,
far,
right.
Alyssa's getting there. It was kind of hard to watch the back-to-back diary rooms of Alyssa being like, I want to make sure that, you know, I can come for her before she comes for me. And then Taylor's like, I'm so glad to be working closely with Alyssa. Like, I really love this. She's going to help integrate me with the rest of the girls. I'm like, oh, I want you guys to actually work together, just like actually be on the same page. That would be great. But yeah, Alyssa's here, and you know, probably got a little credit with Twitter at least today. Mm-hmm.
right compared to most of these other people in the house. Yep. Her saying like, well, I hope I can get her before she gets me, like that's basically like I love Taylor.
Pretty like, much.
That's a love letter to Taylor in this house.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, she's been one of the least bad people toward Taylor. Not to say that she is sort of like innocent in all of it. In fact, maybe ramping up a little today. But yeah, I think
we're going backwards.
Yeah.
Classic Big Brother: 2 steps forward, 5 6 backwards.
I would just like more than two people in the house that I can tolerate, please.
Mm-hmm.
That would be nice.
Okay. All right. So I had no idea what the HOH competition was going to look like. Now, I had heard Taryn, you say that there was like was some sort of a pie eating contest. I thought that was like maybe like a metaphor. I don't know. I didn't think that this was actually going to be what this was. And I just like am having a hard time still even thinking that this was something on television in 2022. Like this feels like that this was a competition that we might have had on Big Brother like 15, 20 years ago.
That's what I said. It reminded me of an old school Big Brother competition.
In a good way?
Kind of.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, look, I was not a fan of the... Definitely right. Not a fan of it. I would never want to hear it again.
Right.
But I liked that it was like, it was a fair competition. Like, you know, anybody really could win this one. You know, digging your face into a pie and trying to feel out the shape of a letter with your mouth. You know, anybody can win that, as evidenced by the outcome.
What's the strategy for this, Taryn? How do you
dig into the pie? Give us the breakdown, Taryn.
You need some good neck strength, right? You know, digging your face around with your neck. Maybe for like, if you're into like metal concerts, you're really into like the headbanging, you've got a little bit of practice, right?
Right.
And then, you know, it's just all about like, you know, as you do, like maybe if you eat alphabet soup, right? Get a little bit of practice feeling around what letter is in my mouth right now.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Taryn, dodge that bullet.
Okay. Are you looking for like just whatever letter you can find, or is it then important to then also make sure that you have the correct letter?
You got to have the correct letter. This is the answer to the question.
Yeah.
These are all good notes for when I go into Big Brother. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
It was a little OTEV similar in some ways, though, like being buzzing in first with the right thing. And then I feel like there was a little bit of similar
OTEV, but with your face.
Okay. Yeah, right. And now OTEV has a much better host for all the OTEVs because we had Daniel here and, you know, Daniel hosting the competition was a mood and not a good one. This was a lot from Daniel. Like, yeah, we know that Daniel is an impressionist. We know he's trying to bring it, but so loud, first of all, like that so much louder than anything else on the show. And also so much here as the farmer.
He's literally an Elvis impersonator. Why not just have Elvis host the competition? You know?
Hey, I don't think it's about.
How dare none of you dress up for this podcast?
Like, I'm sorry I didn't dress like I was in West Side Story. I really I wanted to, but.
Where are the jorts?
He said, this is a Reuben toot in this county fair. Like, I didn't. Like, he was really giving off a lot of energy that he didn't really
have. Too much, Isaiah. Yeah.
Too much.
And also, Pie Fest is not a thing. Stop with Pie Fest. I'm like, did they give up on festivals already? I'm like, oh no, it's Pie Fest. Stop. Stop.
Yeah, is a county fair a festival?
Mm-hmm. Mary, I feel like that you go to county fairs, right?
I don't know what this like this archetyping of me is. But
you
yes,
just strike
I
us as a person.
I go to the county fair.
Yep. I think it's the pigtail.
Is it? Yeah, the county fair is great, but I've never heard it called a festival.
Mm-hmm.
And also, the pies are not just colored icing, and you don't normally have to find anything in them. And there's usually not a person yelling at you making horrible puns.
Mm-hmm.
That seems at more a failing of the fair than.
I think that Daniel is just trying to get other people to do impressions of him, maybe on like a slop format. I think that's what he's looking for.
Oh, do you think that there is a Daniel impressionist that's out there?
Probably not yet, but he's definitely trying to get some of that. Like he was going kind of Frenchy, I think, tonight. I think he was going for that.
Do you think it's the ultimate goal of an impressionist to like, if you're an Elvis impersonator, that like you dream that someday somebody will be a Daniel impersonates Elvis impersonator.
Hmm.
Like the impersonation of your impersonation is so good that in the future there are now people that impersonate your impersonation.
It's a very specific dream.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very specific job.
Yep.
Yeah.
Karen, is that what you hope for with some of your Big Brother impressions?
Yeah, I mean, someday they'll take it to Vegas.
Mm-hmm. What are you going to do?
Matt Klein was your go-to.
We discussed it recently.
Okay. Yeah, so Dan, this was just, like, it was so gross. The sound effects were so much. Daniel hosting was just so over the top. And then the thing that really broke me on this was they did like two rounds and then I'm like, oh my God, they're going to commercial. This is half the show. They did a second segment on this.
You have to get the bigger pies, Rob.
They did get the bigger pies. Isaiah, they were showing us stuff when they came back from the commercial that they showed us before they went to the commercial.
Listen, my friend had a theory. Do we think they planned to do this challenge before Paloma was gone?
Hmm. Why?
This could just be a killer comp. You think so? I don't know.
I mean, it was a pretty elaborate setup, like behind them, at least.
True. You don't think they have like a bunch of like props, just like in some storage room?
I think that they were going to do this competition with 14 people. I think that this competition was going to be longer. I think that the original plan was that Taylor and whoever was going to be for the person from the backstage boss twist, they were going to run the competition that we saw seven times on Thursday. They were going to do it once. And then tonight, then we were going to see then whoever made it, presumably Taylor stays. And then the remaining 15 house guests minus Daniel, I think it would have been 14 people in the pie eating contest.
Mm. Yeah. And I think they would have eliminated more people at a time.
Under those circumstances. Do we feel like Big Brother comps are getting cheaper because like we have the jewelry? Now we're having like the pie eating. Are we going to be tying shoes for a competition in the future? I don't know.
I'm down for it. The big set piece competitions are how Jack's and Mickey's win the game. I have a pie eating contest all day long. I'll sit through every bit of squelching you've got. If this is what it takes, I'm in.
But yeah. I think we're talking about two different things. Cause like, I don't mind the grossness. I agree with Taryn. It's great to have competitions that anyone can win. But find a way to either make it shorter and put something else in your episode or make it more interesting to the viewer. It doesn't have to be more complicated to the players, but maybe something else happening as well.
Yeah, I just feel like that we, you know, this is like an important part of the week. We got so little. We spent, 25 minutes of this hour show on people like putting their face into these pies. It was too much.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm completely with you on that. I mean, this has been the trend too with Big Brother. You know, I think that we were very exasperated at the Big Brother Celebrity recently, where it was like a half hour of competition in every episode almost. And it's frustrating. It feels lazy to me. It feels like it's just a lot easier to edit a competition because there's much less footage to work through. It just eats up more screen time and they're not that fun to watch most of the time. So yeah, I'm with you.
Isaiah, as far as budget goes, I'm not necessarily sure because I feel like the veto this past week with like the mechanical, like a horse going through the course, I feel like that wasn't like a cheap one yet. So I think that like the jury is still out on whether or not it's a budgetary cut here.
It's something. I mean, I think of even if you're doing like cheap competitions. Like I think back in the day, like I sound like a old head right now, but think of Big Brother 6 where they literally had that one competition where they're just sitting in like a glass dome with the finger on the button.
The pressure cooker?
I mean, it's early, but like there's a way to
get like a box full of flies there.
that, I mean, look, they have a lot of other disgusting things that they've done comp wise before, mm-hmm. like slime and everything. So they can deal with some flies, right?
Mm-hmm. But No, I just like, Rob, you can't convince me that the veto competition where they couldn't even afford stiff lances was high budget.
You think that's more expensive?
They literally had floppy lances.
It was a budgetary issue.
I mean, in all seriousness, it was genuinely just like a pool, what do you call it?
A pool noodle?
Pool noodle attached to a handle. Like it was.
Yeah.
I think, that's what makes it challenging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't know if a pool noodle is that floppy.
You would know more than I would.
Mm-hmm. You know, let's go to a lot of pool parties, Taryn. Yeah.
Pool fest. Yes. Next week on Big Brother.
Pool fest. Okay. Anything else about the pies? I did like it when Amira, I think it was.
So I'm looking for the F.
Yeah. Okay. So other than that, it got down to Jasmine and Michael, and Jasmine's like, "Hey, I want to see some pictures of my family." Michael said, "You gotta beat me for it." And then I was like, "I'm wondering, did Michael throw the competition? But do we have from the feeds that he did?"
On the feeds, he said he threw the competition. Okay. For whatever reason, this happens pretty often where on the feed, somebody says, "Hey, I threw that comp." And then on the episode, it's like,
"I'm going for it.
I'm trying so hard."
Mm-hmm.
Unlike those lances.
If it's for a strategic reason, I would rather them show on the show the segment of them saying that they threw it, because that's more interesting for us to know. And I mean, you know, worst case scenario, they say they threw it and then they pooch themselves and like go home and it's funny.
Mary,
like, you shouldn't have thrown it.
I feel like that if it was like a pooch scenario, they would show it. But I feel like when somebody actually throws it for like good strategic reason, I feel like that they are more likely to not show it for whatever reason. They feel like, oh, this is uninteresting to see people throwing competitions. Only when somebody, like when it goes sideways, I feel like they tell us that they threw the competition.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely did show it in like the Christmas sprint scenario, mm-hmm. where everyone threw it.
Well, that was the only explanation of how Christmas could win.
Could you imagine if they'd played it straight?
Yeah, but I think it is frustrating when it's like I think it's because the show obviously wants people to think that everyone is taking it very seriously and taking the challenges very serious, because it's a very serious show, very serious party happening,
very serious
right here.
This is the thing with Survivor also, like there's a lot of times I feel like in the last like 5 or 6 years where a tribe is throwing a challenge and they never put it in the show. Like the only times they ever put it in the show is when the person who's throwing the challenge is like, I'm throwing the challenge, and then they get voted out in that episode. So for whatever reason, they feel like, it's going to ruin the show if we tell people somebody's trying to lose. The integrity.
They take their competitions very,
very seriously.
Rob. Yes.
Yes. Okay. All right. So hopefully we don't have to hear anybody say anymore.
Gobble that pie.
Gobble it.
No, these sound bites are so bad. Like I was sitting through, like, what am I listening to? Like, if you ever like just pass by someone and then like you see them watching Big Brother, I wouldn't be confused. I wouldn't like feel bad if they didn't know what they were watching, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's just so much random stuff. What's the connectivity from the last HOH part to a pie eating contest?
It wasn't supposed to be part one of the HOH. That's the big issue there. Unrelated. Yeah,
I mean, we talk about this all the time, but it's a constant in my life that, like, because now that this is my job, that like I kind of have to talk about it with people when I meet them, because they're like, what do you do? And then I have to talk about Big Brother, and I have to convince them that it's actually a good show and that there's worthy parts to it and that I'm not dedicating my life to complete garbage. And then they're like, oh, let me check it out. And then they get, and then they never talk to me again.
Mm-hmm. Is pie eating the great equalizer, like the puzzles are on Survivor. Should this just be at the end of every challenge? You know, like every veto, you do an obstacle course or whatever, and then you do the pie eating part at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, then the new fire making.
you think there should be maybe like a final four pie eating?
Yeah, I think that's a game changer. That yeah. Even big
well, maybe that should be the final HOH.
I mean, look, I'll sit and watch a pie eating contest for that. Why not?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. All right. Look, send it to Samoa.
You got to find HOH instead of TNF.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Let's talk about the reactions after the HOH challenge. So Jasmine was very excited because her mission number one, hey, as long as Taylor doesn't get it, that's fine. Okay. So mission accomplished. She prevented Taylor from being the HOH. However, there is a ray of light. Michael actually says he would want to work with Taylor. She wants to play and play hard.
Yeah. Valuable. You know, being able to recognize, hey, nobody seems to like this person, but she wants to play, which means if you give her some space to play, she'll want to work with you because she wants to work. She wants to play. And she's willing to take shots, which is great for Michael.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, all right, Michael has an ally in Taylor, potentially. All right, Nicole had found out about the six-person alliance, okay? She's going to tell Daniel. All right, Daniel, guess what? Did you hear about the six-person alliance? The Rogue Rats are in business, finally. Daniel, he is not even mad about getting Nicole getting invited to the six-person alliance. From rats to riches.
He's a little bit mad that he didn't get the invite, though, especially when he finds out the name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because to extend the metaphor Taryn was talking about earlier, this is like when your friend gets invited to a party in the name of a friend that you thought you were best friends with and the only person who was like really
somebody
close
who was the homie.
Yeah, yeah. And Daniel's like, wow. I'm the only true homie, and I didn't even get invited to the posse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like Daniel was like hanging out with Nicole. They were vibing. They were just like being homies. And then the cool kids came up, and they were like, hey, can we just steal Nicole from you for a sec? Like, we just got something we wanted to talk Bachelor. To her about. And then he kind of just stood there awkwardly watching them talk to her. And he was just like, what do I do? Do I leave? Do I just watch them? How long are they going to be talking? And then they were like patting her on the back and shaking her hand and giving her a really small T-shirt. And then she came back, and she was like, oh, yeah, they invited me to the party. It's going to be great. He was like, oh, wow, we're going to a party? And she was like, oh man, they mentioned that it was only me actually, like you weren't actually supposed to even know about it.
Yeah.
So if you could just keep that on the down low.
So Taryn, does Daniel even know that Paloma handpicked the people that were going to be in this alliance and that and not only did she kick Pooch out, but also then replaced Pooch with another man in the house who was not Daniel? The homie?
No. He believes that, as Nicole does, that Monty is the creator of this alliance. Mm-hmm. And that they just all loved Poe so much, that Poe was just an innocent inclusion in the alliance. He does not know that Paloma was not a huge fan of him. Mm-hmm. For most of her time in the house, and did not want him in the alliance.
Oh, boy. That's going to hurt.
It happens.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like he's not mad at them, but he's mad at Taylor, though. You also got to remember
well,
that.
Well, it's Taylor's fault, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm. To think of your analogy about the party, it's like Taylor's the person who's like, you can come in my house instead. He's like, oh, you're so annoying.
Leave me alone. Why are you always doing this?
How did you find me?
You're making me look uncool.
Horrible, mm-hmm. man. Horrible.
Okay.
The idea that Taylor could make anyone look uncool, just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. That part.
Yeah, she's literally like the unpopular kid in like movies and shows who's actually like drop dead gorgeous. And you're like, that would never happen in real life.
It's a bizarro world in the house.
The Disney kids.
Yeah. Anyway, so we get a little bit about Pooch. All right. Pooch has a master plan. And that master plan is that the best way to get Taylor out is for him himself to go up on the block. His plan, put Pooch and Brittany. This is like a Nathan For You episode. His plan.
Go I wonder up how often he rehearsed it.
Go up on the block with Brittany in order to get Taylor out of the house.
In all of my rehearsals of this plan, never once did I think that they would want to then vote me out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I could see no downside to this. Yeah. I get put on the block. I just win the veto. We don't even allow Taylor the chance. Mm-hmm. Foolproof plan.
I refuse to call that man Pooch, by the way. He's always Joe to me. Never calling him that.
No, that Isaiah, not only is he Pooch, he's...
So your boy Pooch got a little bit of a bold plan this week.
He's your boy Pooch.
Your boy.
Your boy Joe. He ain't hearing it from me.
Yeah. You're not my boy, Pooch.
Absolutely not. I can't stand him. I can't.
Okay.
Joe's over here trying to get us to call him Pooch, trying to go up on the block, making Chuck E. the Cheese jokes.
He is a coach also, Mary.
Oh, yeah. Perfect.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So, he tells Alyssa about this plan. Alyssa has the reaction that so many of us at home have.
This is a dumb move. This is a dumb move.
Bad plan, Pooch.
Yeah. Pretty straightforward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, this is fun.
Yeah. Yeah, especially, like, the confidence.
Yeah.
Like, I've been talking to my boys and, you know, obviously I'm going to be safe. So we got to get Taylor out. I was thinking I go up on the block, you know, so I feel like I got to get something on my resume. So I think it's going to work out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And his idea is that he's going to also convince Jasmine to put someone like Brittany up because, as you know, you really only have to beat the other person on the block and the HOH for the veto. So it'll be perfectly fine. I mean, he doesn't even take the one step to think like, what if Taylor gets picked to play in the veto as well?
I think
that could happen.
He's so confident in his challenge ability for some reason.
It's your boy Pooch. We're going to go win another competition. He had to sit like this too. Like he was so confident, man. Like I'm just, nothing can go wrong. Like there's, it's Taryn. I've seen so many like people with just like this crazy confidence that like nothing's going to go wrong whatsoever. I can't stand Taryn.
There he locks, no big problem.
Look, nothing can shake him. He's locked in. All right. Pooch has got this game figured out. Maybe he hacked the game now. He's ready.
Also, I really don't think it should count when they say, like, in the diary room, like, oh, yeah, I've got nothing against Taylor, though. Like her as a person. It's like, but we also see everything you're saying that's not nice about Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it doesn't just, it's not like the things you say in the diary room are the only true things.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know, Mary. These super fans seem to know everything.
You know what I think? I just think that someone needs to take Pooch aside and they just need to just give him a little.
Okay. All right. Good. good. Let's go ahead and.
Taryn, you don't like that, but you get to play all the sloppy noises.
Why did they felt so confident to show that spanking?
Yeah. So for Mary has a spatula, for people that are listening on the podcast,
Mary might be
confused. Okay,
hold on. It was in my pocket. Didn't he like take it out of his pocket or something?
He did. Okay. So first of all, this was such a bizarre scene that unfolded, and I was so confused about what was happening, and I'm sure I wasn't alone. So Indy comes out of the bathroom, and like Pooch is like waiting for her to show the spatula, and then we get again. It seems like that maybe it's the Sunday night crew that really wants to interject the story. Hey, remember last week when we told you that Indy was a sex coach? Okay, remember that a week ago? Okay, so yeah, and it seemed like that Indy in the diary room is like earnestly talking about this, as that this is like Pooch's fantasy to be spanked with the spatula, and
yeah
she's like, well, this is what I do for a living. People tell me what they like and I work with them to help them get more comfortable with what their innermost fantasies are.
Yeah, and I think it's important that we say that. Yeah, I mean, obviously, no judgment to anybody that has a fantasy of, you know, being spanked with a spatula or anything along those lines. I just want to personally say my fantasy is not having to watch Pooch spank himself with a spatula on the feeds. That's just my own thing. You know.
Yeah, and we're not here to yuck anybody's yum. Yeah. I say this repeatedly on the podcast, Isaiah. Okay.
Yeah, I would just not let him in the kitchen like for the rest of the summer. Like, you're not allowed to cook anymore.
Yeah. Anymore. But go ahead, Mary.
I really appreciated Indy's diary room the seriousness with what she was talking about, and everything she was saying is right. You know, talk to your partners, etc. I can't, like, is this him being serious, or is he like making fun of Indy? Like that's the part where I'm like, don't be making fun of her profession.
Oh, I don't think he was making fun. I mean, he apologized to his mom if she was watching it. It seemed like it was more than borderline like inappropriate, like what he was saying. Like, I didn't know where this segment was going. I thought it was going to be like Pooch is being a real creep in the house.
I had to apologize to my mom for my tweet earlier. She did screenshot it and send it to me with a bunch of question marks, so...
What was the tweet?
It was about bringing a spatula to the podcast.
Oh, and yeah. I'm not bringing out the spatula.
No, I okayed it with her. So it's okay.
Yeah.
I do think there was just like, there's a little bit of a contrast between Indy kind of like earnestly talking about how this, you know, it's important not to judge, and that, you know, this is something that should be talked about, and all of that, which I also agree, like, great message. But just to like get that message over Pooch laying with a smile on his face, like,
yeah, when he was talking about like, oh, I'm gonna be laying down like this, like, I'm like, what is going on here?
It's working that social game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, do you think that that Pooch's use of the spatula is manifesting a house flip this week?
Oh,
against him. Yes.
Yeah, but the type of spatula he was using is not the kind you flip with.
Mm-hmm.
It's the kind that you well, okay, yeah. So I did hit someone with a spatula once.
Oh, but really?
I was
so you have experience with this.
Look. I told myself I wasn't going to bring this up, but you brought it up.
It's okay, so. No judgment.
I know. Look, I was like 4. Mm-hmm. It's okay.
Whoa.
I did. You know what? I didn't go to detention, but I did go to timeout for it. So
yes. Okay.
It counts. But no. But like, this is not the kind you flip with. It's the kind you kind of scoop stuff and then kind of flop them with. So I think that's more the manifestation.
Mm-hmm.
He's a flopper.
Yeah. It would be great if when Pooch goes out the door potentially on Thursday, if he gets. slapped in the ass with the spatula on the way out the door. Maybe Julie, instead of hitting him in the head with a card like Marcellus, maybe the spatula. No touching, no touching, but pooch. So you put yourself on the block. You deserve this.
We don't kink shame when Rob has a podcast.
Look.
There you go.
All right.
Let's get out of this.
Okay. All right. Let's go back to how about Pooch talking to Jasmine? Okay. Amira had a funny button on that scene. Remind me to never use the spatula. So Pooch goes to Jasmine and like, hey, here's the plan. Okay. I'm going to go up on the block. Jasmine tells us like, I'm fine with either of these people going home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, fine with me. Volunteers for the block. Yeah. It's like, great. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. She doesn't know who's the real pawn out of these because even she doesn't know. So what can she tell anyone?
Mm-hmm.
You know, she has options.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. Now Pooch does know that there is some risk to this plan. He seems fully aware of it. And Isaiah, Pooch is going to really embrace this because, look, you first off, resume, got to make big moves, got to risk it to get the biscuit. Make sure that biscuit doesn't burn. Get that spatula in there also.
Well, absolutely, right? Mm-hmm. No, he is very confident right now. He's worried, but you know what? Everybody doesn't like Taylor, and there's no way Taylor's not leaving this week. So you know what? Who cares if I go on the block? I remember even I'm shocked that they didn't show, but even Terrence was ready to go on the block at one point too, right? Like there's people volunteering to get nominated this week. Like what kind of power is that? But I guess people trust Jasmine that much.
Mm-hmm. Look, you know what they always say about Big Brother.
I didn't come here to play Baby Brother.
Baby Brother.
Nobody came here to play Baby Brother.
That's a new one.
Yeah.
That's a classic line.
First of all,
Nicole Franzel said it. Yes. It's classic.
Yes. I didn't come here to play Big Baby has gotten now perverted to I didn't come here to play Baby Brother.
I think Baby Brother does make more sense than Big. Well,
Big Baby,
I think Big Baby makes more sense.
No, I'm actually with Mary. Because Big Brother, it's like I have an older brother. I have a big brother and I have a baby brother.
Like, what's a big baby?
I'm the middle child.
A big baby is a big old baby.
Yeah, yeah, but it's like
a big baby.
This is like chess, not checkers. This is like I didn't come here to play Baby Brother. I came here to play Big Brother, the biggest brother.
That's just insulting to little brothers.
Well, I think middle brothers are really the ones left out of the conversation.
I think we can all agree that it's fine to insult babies, but little brothers, like, God, that's a little too far.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they are also babies, because they're your brother.
It's fine to insult babies, Taryn Armstrong.
Why would you say that, Mary? That's a weird thing to say. I hope nobody quotes you, like, out of context on that, because that was pretty messed up.
Where's the spatula?
Yeah. Mary's already said she hits four-year-olds.
That's not what I said. Wait.
Okay, there we go. Yeah, we're getting to the root of this.
Caught in 4K.
Okay. All right. There was a good scene with Taylor going to talk to Jasmine. And Taylor says, look, there's just one thing I would like. I would like to not go on the block and be a pawn this week. That's my, if I could have that one request. Jasmine says nothing. And Taylor's like, oh my God, you're putting me on the block as a pawn.
Yeah. Yep. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I'm not going to sit here and tell you that you're not going on the block as a pawn because you definitely are.
Yes.
Definitely, well, definitely a pawn.
Mary, in fairness, Jasmine is, quote, a real ass chick, okay?
Yep.
Yep.
We get a lot of like one liners from Rob this podcast.
that's a quote, Isaiah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Man. Okay. Yeah, Jasmine cannot tell a lie. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
That's right.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Gonna definitely tell Taylor she's going up on the block. So sad. Mm-hmm. It's just so sad.
Yeah. All right. Taylor takes it in stride. Does she know at this point, Taryn, that people are going to about what Pooch is planning to do? Is it like, was she like fully on board with this?
She is informed pretty quickly, but she had already, because here's the problem. She still doesn't know how much people like Jasmine and many of the other people in the house dislike her just on a personal level. As far as she's concerned, the only thing she really did wrong was that miscommunication with Monty. And Monty is the only person she's aware of that's really like holding a grudge about it. So from her perspective, she went into that conversation thinking, I might be used as a pawn because I get it. I was already on the block. I've already got this reputation. And so they might be using me as a pawn, but there's no way I would be the target. That makes no sense for Jasmine. I mean, I'm with Jasmine. So it never even crossed her mind that she would be the target.
Okay. We go to our nomination ceremony. It's Taylor and it's Pooch. That she says for Taylor, you slept next to me and you didn't ever talk game with me.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah, take that. And then Pooch, you became the backstage boss and reasons.
It wasn't your fault. Wasn't your fault.
Yeah.
But I feel like you need to fight.
Okay, sure.
Put some things on your resume, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So those are your nominees for week number two. It's Taylor and it's Pooch. Taylor had a good moment in the diary room talking about how she's not a pawn. She's a queen.
Yeah, I got you here.
Queen's coming to get what's hers.
Yes.
Now that,
I like the DRs.
That sound clip, that's an investment. All right.
Okay.
Later in the season, the later we get, the more valuable it becomes.
Mm-hmm.
If on finale night I get to play that sound clip, I'm just saying, I'm basically a financial genius.
Okay. Is that a stock watch tip?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Then that's basically it. Pooch didn't even want Taylor to have a chance to play the veto.
Yeah.
Come on.
This is kind of the whole crux of the issue, right? Pooch's whole plan was, I'm going to go up as a pawn in order to prevent Taylor from even getting a chance to play in the veto because I'll be up against someone else like Brittany or someone.
Mm-hmm.
The plan was not just go up next to Taylor with an equal chance of winning the veto.
Yeah. No. Are you saying that wasn't a good plan, Mary?
I'm saying this might have already not turned out the way Pooch thought.
Yeah.
But it's okay. Sometimes you got to risk it to build that resume for the final two, you know?
That's right. That's right. Okay. We still are going to take some questions from the listeners. We're going to talk about the live feeds. But one thing that I feel like we haven't talked about yet on the podcast is Thursday night, we found out about the twist that is coming to Big Brother coming up on this Thursday, which is going to be the soon to be unveiled BB Besties is going to be involved somehow, where it seems like that we are going to have partners introduced into the game starting for week three. And I would love to just take a moment and just talk about that. And because I feel like that we haven't really thought about it since, it was a very busy day that came out on Thursday. Taryn, do you have any thoughts on where we're going with the BB Besties?
Well, I think that the only reason to introduce duos, we've seen it before, is if you're going to have a situation where it is like two people are HOH as a duo, maybe they nominate two other duos. Maybe there's a Sunday competition where those two duos face off to see who the real nominees are going to be or whatever. And then at the end of the week, maybe there's only two left because of a Sunday competition or whatever the case may be. But, we've definitely seen this concept before. Maybe they'll do something new with it, but I don't know what it would be.
Do we think that the house guests will have the opportunity to pick who their BB bestie is going to be? Because if
I should hope not.
You should hope not.
Yeah. Yeah. This is what we want rags to riches. Sorry, rats to riches.
Well, the only thing I think that would be interesting is then you kind of would need to expose your ride or die to the house, right?
Not necessarily. I mean, I feel like there's enough people in the majority for them to just kind of like pair off and be like, okay, you go over there and you go over here, and then it'll be Taylor looking around, and it'll be like Terrence looking around, and we'll get like Taylor and Brittany or something, and you know, it'll be a weird thing.
Yeah. It's just interesting that they call it the BB besties. If it was like, I feel like that maybe you'd use a different word if it's going to be randomly assigned partners.
Well, I think it's the best case scenario here is like Taylor's teamed up with Jasmine and they're BB besties, right? Like, oh yeah, I'm totally besties with Taylor. I'm so glad that my fate is tied to hers. Oh my God. Mm-hmm.
We can do a personality test.
Ooh, like, are you the one?
Yeah.
Yeah, go into the truth booth and find out who your bestie is. Mary, do you think that this will be a one-weeker? Do you think that we will spend a couple of weeks with the BB besties?
It depends how much this idea crashes and burns.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen them abandon Twist before, or bring them back, depending on who may or may not be in danger.
Mm-hmm.
I think the thing I'm trying to figure out is, I'm biased in this scenario. I'm trying to just think about what will or won't hurt Taylor. And so who do we want Taylor to be with though? If this was going to be something that would affect her standing in the game, because I think my first instinct was like, put her with someone like Michael or Alyssa who could actually potentially want to work with her, and maybe by spending more time with her and having their fate with her, that could help her. Or is she kind of already good with them and should try to find someone who dislikes her and try to work on that? I don't know. I don't know. Just something I'm thinking about.
Put her with someone that everyone likes, like Kyle or Amir or something. Do that. That way she won't go home.
Hopefully the algorithm will figure it out, right?
Mm-hmm.
The mighty algorithm.
Yeah. All right. I'm excited to see. Yes. Yeah. I'm excited to see how it plays out on Thursday and see what the BB besties ultimately is. Anything else about tonight's episode before we talk some live feed spoilers?
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
For nearly four decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
For nearly four decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
All right, let's do it. So let's get into everything going on right now as we introduce from the Big Brother live feeds now.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
I was going to go face first into the buzzer. I thought it would be too upsetting. Okay.
At least you didn't drop the buzzer on the way over.
Yes. Yes. Okay. All right. Yeah. And we didn't even mention that Jasmine got the scooter, the Christmas scooter. Boy, Taryn, as so many things are really just calling back to BB19 here in this season. Is it in honor of the 5-year anniversary of the live feed update?
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, it's very nostalgic.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
a throwback.
I'm in the same mindset with the, what are you going to do? You know, like we're all just thinking fondly of, you know, remember Big Brother 19.
Mm-hmm.
Big Brother 19 was my first season of Big Brother that I watched live. And it's just really, it's making me feel nostalgic.
Yeah. Is that what Pooch was going for here with?
So your boy Pooch got a little bit of a bold plan this week.
He's such a super fan that he was dropping your boy on us.
It was memorable, all right.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give him that.
Somebody's in.
I mean, I'm sure Michael could tell you. You know, saying I'm your boy in the diary room makes you 4 times more likely to win the game.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or sorry. Come in second place.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was shady. That was shady.
All right. Well, we had a veto over the weekend, and so for anybody who was not following Big Brother over the weekend, Taryn, what happened in the veto?
Well. Speaking of Michael, he came in here and he said,
"Queen's coming to get what's hers."
And he said, "I'm getting that veto,
yes.
Like Janelle for the second time."
What would Janelle do? Win the veto again? Okay. So I know that there was some talk about maybe Michael using the veto. Any possibility that Michael will use the veto on tomorrow morning?
Very unlikely. You know, any talk of it has been pretty light, not super serious. Very, very likely that he will not use the veto.
Okay. All right. So where do we stand now heading into Thursday?
As of right now, the plan is still in place. Pooch is going to be voted out.
Okay. How's Pooch taking the news?
He's been scrambling a bit. He's been trying to do some things. He definitely, I think, regrets the decision to put himself in this position. But you do have this kind of back and forth between everybody in the house, like really laying it on thick and reassuring him, you're totally good. Don't worry about it. And then some of the guys like Kyle being like, actually, you might need to worry a little bit. I don't know about this. And then going back and then being like, no, you're totally cool. You're totally fine. Don't worry about it. So we will see. I think as of right now, there's, you know, it's Sunday, so there's a long time to go, but it's still possible that we might get a blindside on Thursday.
Okay. Is Pooch blanketing? I've been seeing some reports of that.
Yeah, I wouldn't say he's blanketing at this point. No, I wouldn't go that far.
Okay. Any other news to speak of as far as headlines go?
Turner had his first DR. Hasn't been in there for a couple days. He's very excited.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
For a second, I thought you meant in the episode. And I was
No, of course not. Actually.
Yeah. No, was he 0 for the episode? I feel like him, Terrence, and Monty, I feel like, were all 0 for the episode.
I don't even know if Kyle was there much.
Mm-hmm.
He had some HOH comp.
Oh, yeah.
Rooms.
A little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Joseph got to flex his muscles.
And that was it. That was it. Yeah. I mean, that this is a season where it seems like that they're really leaning on the women a lot more in the diary room.
Yeah,
not and much personality.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, it seems like they've replaced Paloma with Amira so far, with in terms of the narration of the show.
And she's very good at it. I thought Amira is really good as sort of like the narrator in the diary room.
Definitely.
So, yeah, I thought that there were a lot of like fun confessionals from the women in the house. We touched on Alyssa already. Taylor is good in the diary room. So we'll see if, you know, we get more from some of the women of Big Brother 24 on these episodes. All right, anything else to highlight from the feeds going into Monday?
Well, I mean, talking about Monty not really being in the episode, one thing that's interesting is that on the feeds, Kyle and Alyssa alluded to the fact that Monty was the one actually that suggested they bring in Nicole and really fought for Nicole's inclusion within the Paloma Alliance. And that was also confirmed by Monty himself, who told Nicole, I was the one that fought to get you in this alliance. In the episode, we saw it entirely from Amira's perspective and didn't see Monty at all. We did know that Amira was the one that approached Nicole to enter the alliance, but we were under the assumption that it was Monty that pushed for it. That still may be true, and we just didn't see that scene, but wasn't really in the episode in that way. In addition to that, Monty has been pushing against the Pooch plan. He's been wanting to keep Pooch and get rid of Taylor, and it has been sinking his game very quickly. Yes, a lot of people are looking to potentially target Monty soon, and the Paloma, the Pose Pack Alliance is not looking super solid at this time because of it.
Bye, Monty.
Okay. Should we take some questions from the listeners here? Let's start with Cupcakes, okay? Not Pie. Cupcakes says, what was the biggest factor in Jasmine switching from Taylor tunnel vision to being on board with Pooch leaving?
It was pretty much just Amira saying, so actually we should get Pooch out. And Jasmine being like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think some of it is also the idea, especially from the first week, you know, the girls all really wanted a guy to leave the first week, but instead Paloma did. So now that they have an opportunity with Pooch volunteering, there's a guy who's connected to a lot of the other guys and not in our alliance. Might as well do it while we can. We could take out Taylor anytime.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's worth noting that the target for the girls alliance prior to the Paloma exit was Pooch. He was the person that they were going to target next.
Do it for Poe.
Right. So the fact that Taylor stayed in the game was a bit of a hiccup there, and Jasmine was thinking, okay, Taylor's still first. But basically, when Amira was like, oh no, we should do Pooch, he's offering himself on a silver platter, she's like, oh, okay, we were already talking about doing that.
Now, Taryn, could some of the guys really be bummed out if Pooch goes home this week? And in the wake of losing Pooch, could they start a Pooch Pack alliance?
The Pooch Pack.
Yeah.
The Pooch Pack strikes back.
Mm-hmm.
The will of
P. Always pulls through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Poe sounds more like it's short for Pooch.
Hmm.
Well, Pooch, it was originally in the Pose Pack.
Pooch is short for Joe, ironically.
Joe. There you go.
Yeah. Okay. Joe's pack. The pub. All right.
He's got a good one.
Okay. All right. Turner's hair says, is there any hope for Taylor? Even if she ups her social game, will anyone ever truly work with her?
What a great username.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think it's early to say there's no hope. No?
I would probably say that she could have Nicole from season 21 upside,
mm-hmm.
in that she could, I mean, that I don't, and unfortunately this could have been different if she had won HOH this week, or if we had just gone to this week and saw that everyone had kind of stopped the talking about Taylor, stopped the hating on her, which has happened before in, you know, first week Pariah, they stick around and people kind of forget about them and they don't become a perpetual pawn or whatever. I was hoping that would happen, but it seems like more it might be more in the Nicole area of like all of a sudden we get to a point where it's like final six or seven, the big alliance needs to implode on themselves at some point and start hating on someone else. Like I definitely think there's other targets, and so Taylor could go somewhere else, but I don't know that Taylor's ever going to be like fully integrated into anything unless she creates something for herself. And that would probably be a smaller group. And then we just have to wait until there's fewer people for that to really gain some power. Or she needs to get some power by like actually winning HOH, but she's kind of moving away from that idea.
Yeah. I think it feels impossible right now because there are still so many people left in the house. There are basically two ways out of the situation. One is to start winning a bunch of comps, and the other is to survive long enough for there to be a few enough people in the house where any individual has more agency to work with. And right. Just right now, you don't have it.
I mean, could I paint a rosy picture potentially if the women of the house keep doing well, that it seems like that right now that the people that are playing well, it's, you know, you have some of the women and Michael, and then a lot of the guys are seeming like they're kind of dummies and not so good at the game. Is it possible that if the women stick together here for a while, you know, Taylor could be a big beneficiary of that? Even though she was not originally a girl's girl in the eyes of some of the people in the Women's Alliance?
Well, I mean, go ahead, Jared.
Well, she wasn't originally, and she still isn't, is mm-hmm. kind of the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, it seemed like the three people that she would need in her corner, at least, is, like, Michael, Nicole, and Amira. All three of them seem, like, willing to do that. So, like, if she got an HOH... got that HOH room where she can like privately talk to people where they don't have to be all fake in her face and stuff, like maybe that would be exactly what she needed, you know? So she more than anyone could like really benefit from HOH at this point.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll take a question from Nick. Nick says, does Joseph have potential to be a good player? What would he need to change? Okay. All right. So Joseph, he doesn't get this body from eating pie. Make no mistake, everybody. Okay.
Yeah. He needs, what was it? Beef?
Your boy needs his meat. Yeah. Yeah. That's BB18 for sure.
Yeah. It was like beef or steak or something, right? Wings maybe.
No, that was JC made the beef sauce. Yeah.
This is a damn good steak. This thing is cooked to perfection and I'm all about it because these biceps ain't going to feed themselves. So your boy needs his meat.
Yeah.
Is that Paulie
Steak? Another your boy. Yeah.
Yeah. That should see, these are the kinds of questions the Big Brother should be asking in their mm-hmm. competitions. What kind of meat did Polly need to feed those biceps?
Yeah. Then, hold on. And then, speaking of steak, Jasmine knew that this competition was for her because she said,
"All I'm missing is some steak and taters and a good old time."
All she's missing is a steak and taters and a good old time.
If you ask me, nothing says a good old time like some steak and taters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just don't make it for her because that would be pretty annoying.
The worst.
Okay. But for Joseph?
I mean...
not feeling good.
He could be a good player in the sense that if he survives long enough to comp beast himself to the end... then people would probably be like, yeah, he was a pretty good player. But, you know, he's not doing great.
What are you going to do? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, right. That was Matt Klein's who I was taught. He would be the one saying it.
Yeah. Well, you could be a puppet master.
Okay. Exactly.
Come on. All right. do you think that Matt Klein has watched an episode of Big Brother since BB19?
Every single one.
Probably.
That was a body built on cereal.
Mm-hmm.
I remember there was a picture like circulating a couple years ago. Someone saw him bartending at his job and they were like, oh, this guy said he was on Big Brother, my bartender.
Mm-hmm.
So
they didn't believe
he's
him.
Still around.
Yeah.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like he's still out there.
Okay. This is a question from Avery. Do you think that Amira getting the mastermind edit is fair? And do you think the other house guests are catching on to her game at all yet? Tara, would you say that Amira is getting an edit she doesn't deserve in terms of too good?
I don't think so. I think she is one of the primary drivers of the strategy at the moment. I think that Nicole also had a pretty good presence here, which is also pretty accurate. And then Michael as well, in his own way. Again, you know, there are definitely faults in Big Brother editing, but they're usually able to capture the spirit of the strategy most of the time, mm-hmm. Even if they get a lot of other things wrong, here in the US at least.
Okay. All right. Let's take a question from E. Says, will Brittany be able to recover from week one? If so, what will she need to do? Mary, we saw Brittany in the episode a little bit tonight. She's basically like, hey, I'm free. I'm not in the backstage twist anymore. Now I can be my authentic self.
Yeah, I don't think that Britney is completely out of the game, but Britney would need to do a lot to be able to come a front runner in the game to have a position where she can win. Because I think a lot of people at this moment are looking at Britney. A lot of the guys are looking at Britney. That would be someone easy to beat, someone to potentially put up either as a pawn or someone they'd be okay letting go. Britney already kind of lost a lot of grace with Pooch after that whole situation last week. But I think that Britney, you would need Britney to get in whatever this fake magical alliance is that we're pretending that Michael and Taylor are in or something, mm-hmm. and be able to gain some power there. That would be, Britney could work her way back into the girls alliance potentially. But even then, I just don't see her having like any power in those situations.
Here's the strategy for Britney to get back into the game. Basically what she needs to do, she needs to like dig into the wardrobe, right? And become a priest of Poe, priestess of Poe, maybe. Maybe go around the house, maybe kind of ring a bell occasionally, like in honor of Poe. You know, we eat this meal in honor of Poe. We vote Pooch out in honor of Poe. I win this HOH. If she does that enough, I feel like she can kind of tap into something there.
What if she could hip Poe ties the house?
I was waiting for it. Yes. Yeah. I want to see the hypnotizing. Yes.
Think about it.
Does she mean a hippo?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a symbol. It's a symbol. Okay. All right. Jimmy says BB not showing the replay of Jasmine definitely means she touched, right? # confetti gate. That would imply that they even knew that to go back and look at the tape.
Yeah.
They also just didn't care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I thought that Jasmine was kind of under-edited for her HOH episode.
Yeah, we didn't even get an HOH room reveal.
Didn't get HOH
didn't hear being carried reveal. Up the stairs.
Yeah, we really didn't hear too much like about like what she's thinking in the game. Like, didn't see too many of her strategic conversations. It was really like all the strategy seemed to happen like outside the HOH room, and then just sort of like Pooch came to her and said like, "I want to go up on the block." She's like, "Okay, fine."
Yeah, I think her biggest scene in the episode was the squeak.
Well, besides eating the pie, yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Squeak.
This is a dominant challenge performance.
She dropped the nomination box. Mm-hmm. It was pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. Anything else, BB24, as we go into another full week of Big Brother?
I might go get good. Some apple pie now after this.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
What color is it?
There's only one way to find out, isn't there?
Okay. Yeah, I guess we'll find out next time you're on a podcast. We'll see what color you have all up here.
Mary, what's your top pie?
I'm an apple pie fan, or nice razzleberry pie.
Razzleberry?
Razzleberry.
Yeah.
Razzle dazzle.
Like a Marie Callender razzleberry pie.
Razzleberry, wow.
I'm a simple gal. You can give me a pie from a freezer.
Yeah.
I'm good with that. Guile?
I mean, you're not that simple. You're talking about razzleberry.
It's great. Those are good, you know? And nice neon blue pie you can get all over your face. That's great.
Sure. Okay. All right, let's talk about what is coming up here on the schedule. And, of course, on Mondays, I'll be back with a slop coming up at 6 p.m. Eastern for the patrons. Don't miss the roundtable coming up on Tuesday. And then we'll have a live episode recaps Wednesday night and Thursday night, in addition to the live feed updates every day of the week with Taryn. Okay, then... it'll be another week of Claim to Fame coming up on Monday night. I had the great pleasure of talking about this brand new show on ABC with Jenny Autumn this past week. We will be back on Tuesday this week to talk about another episode of Claim to Fame. If you haven't seen it yet, it's a very fun show. Mary or Isaiah, have you checked it out yet? Claim to Fame?
only heard good things about it.
Yeah.
I'm going to check it out.
It's very fun that people are the relatives of celebrities, and then you get to play along and guess who they might be. Check that out. We'll have episode 2 of Claim to Fame, I believe. Special guests Puya and Liana for the Masked Singer crossover will join Jenny and I to talk about Claim to Fame this week.
Could I be on that show?
Could you, like, are you related to a celebrity?
I don't know. My last name's Armstrong.
Interesting. Right? Interesting.
Yeah, trumpet.
Yeah. Are you related to Louis Armstrong?
I mean, if I had to pick of the Armstrongs, that definitely would be a top pick.
Wow. This is incredible. I had no idea this entire time. Also this weekend, very excited for the first regular weekly edition of the Why Blank Lost Big Brother edition as Ovi Kabir, an honest to goodness Big Brother house guest from Big Brother 21, joins David Bloomberg this season. Check out what Ovi and David had to say as they wrap up week one of Big Brother over on Why Blank Lost. All right, check out our coverage of The Challenge USA as well. If you like seeing all these Big Brother people on another show, check out The Challenge USA. I had an exit interview with the latest, I guess, challenge besties that were eliminated from The Challenge this week. Also, be sure to check out Brian and Allie every week recapping The Challenge USA. Over the weekend on Robin Akiva Nita podcast, Akiva Whitaker had a vision for a game of 10 people getting it down from 10 to one person in a series of duels. Check out the game show sensation Duel Intentions from the mind of Akiva Whitaker up on the latest Robin Akiva Nita podcast. Bunch of our friends are participating in that one. And of course, check out everything we have going on over on Patreon, where you can get access to The Slop live on Mondays, the BBQ&A live on Fridays. Plus, if you saw last week, Taryn and I talked to Azza. We're going to have our Big Brother alumni interviews live for the patrons, and then we'll post them in the regular podcast feed after that, plus the Patreon 5 for 5. Everything else we're doing in the patron community, get access at robinswebsite.com/patron. And of course, make sure you subscribe to Rob's podcast. Go to robswebsite.com/subscribe for all of our individual show links where you can subscribe and leave ratings and reviews if you're so inclined. Not Matt Klein. All right. So let's talk about you, Mary. What do you have coming up? I know you were podcasting about the Umbrella Academy. I heard your voice in my podcast feed earlier today.
Yes, myself and Marissa Garza are podcasting over on Post Show Recaps about the Umbrella Academy Season 3. We went through and recapped Season 1 and 2 as well, if you want quick updates on those. And we're going episode by episode through Season 3. So we're hitting the home stretch on that. If you haven't checked that out, definitely do and leave us some feedback for the feedback episode at the end of the week. And otherwise, you can check out myself and Christian McInnes over on Kowski Cast. That's Cow with a K. Covering the tail end here of Riverdale Season 6. So if you like Umbrella Academy and you like superhero stuff, you might like Riverdale. You know, there's superpowers there.
Is there
now.
Any pie?
Oh, you know, there was an episode where there was a pancake eating competition at a county fair. And, so it was very similar.
And how did they turn those pancakes over?
With a spatula.
Yes, I could see a few spatulas on Riverdale.
Yeah. That's not out of the question. Mm-hmm. So, you know, basically from Riverdale to this episode tonight, I'm really just podcasting about gold TV content at the moment.
Okay. All right. Well, Mary, great to have you back here with us. Isaiah, I know you are super busy with everything going on over at Silent Podcast. What's coming up for you?
Yeah. So if anyone is interested in following what I do, you can follow me at 8BallBangers on all socials. I am podcasting on my network, The Silent Podcast, talking about Big Brother and movies and all that other fun stuff as well. Shout out to the Cookout Sidebar. They dropped a podcast on their feed talking about like colorism, history of black women on Big Brother. Really good. So go check that out. You can also find me on the Purple Pants podcast at the end of every month with Bryce Isaiah. We're talking about like our favorite songs that drops every month. So that should be fun.
Isaiah, can I ask, why is that segment not called Isaiah with Isaiah?
Someone brought that up last night. Yeah, yes. That's crazy that you said that. Yeah. Yeah. It's in a workshop. We're thinking about it.
Okay.
Isaiah and Isaiah would be cool. Oh, and lastly, me and Matt Scott played this game called Survivor Philadelphia. And last we saw the first episode last night, and it was really good. It starts in 2 days. Make sure you check it out. It is fire and chaotic.
The theme for Survivor Philadelphia season two, it's what heart versus brain.
Head versus heart.
Head versus heart.
Emotional players versus strategic. What? I'm on the strategic team.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Look at you.
I feel like the katana said otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're talking about this one? I had to put it in the background just in case, you know?
That's a head weapon, Taryn.
Some people have a spatula, some people have a katana.
Thank you, Mary. I appreciate it. Yeah, yes. But definitely check it out if you like Survivor.
Okay. All right. Isaiah, great job here tonight. And then, Taryn, what's coming up for you?
Well,
Queen's coming to get what's hers.
On the live feed update.
Okay. Sure.
You can also find me on Twitch.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's it?
Yeah, just chilling.
Okay. Just vibes with Taryn.
Bobbin. Okay. Come be my homie.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us. We had a lot of fun here with an episode that didn't give us a lot, or maybe gave us too much. Thank you so much for joining us. Take care. Have a good one. Bye.